This is a production of Tripod Broadcasting.
Well, let's start recording, so...
We just did.
Okay, cool. I think this is a key show to listen to because it's
all about emotional masturbation. Journalistic integrity.
It encapsulates everything that we're about.
And I'm sorry.
Now, give that some thought.
Yeah.
With Addison.
I can't be mad at you. You got a haircut.
And Matt.
I would recommend that you stop listening right now.
Tripod Broadcasting's Give That Some Thought, where Addison and Matt give things some thought. I'm your host, Addison. Joining me is my co-host, a man who hates Breaking Bad's Flynn like most people hate Skyler, Matt Hume.
Yeah, hey, what's going on there out there, radio podcast land?
Seriously? That's the second intro you've ruined with that,
all right,
that 40s bit.
Take two.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to let you recover. Go ahead.
Well, you're about to be... blown away by my smooth recovery. Here it comes. You ready for the smooth recovery?
Yeah.
I'm about to recover. Right now. Like in 2 seconds, I'm going to just suave.
Any day now.
Okay.
Would be great.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Here it comes. Ready for it?
I'm ready.
Nah, I've got nothing.
That's what I thought. Anyways, along the lines of Breaking Bad... Yeah, so there's this show on AMC. You've heard Matt and I mention it before. It's a great show.
Yeah, it's just a little show that doesn't have a whole lot of viewers behind it.
Well,
not a whole lot of people know about it. It's called Breaking Bad. We think it's great. We'd love for more people. We're hoping with our podcast.
If you're on Twitter at all,
we're hoping with our podcast we can get the word out and help this show gain some viewers in its final season.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. We're not on the payroll from AMC or anything like that, I'd like to clarify. Speaking of that, though, anyways, Matt has some very poignant views on some of the characters, which you might find odd if that's the case, or you just want to hear our analysis of the show, if you watch it, whatever it is.
Yeah, huge spoiler alert. Huge
spoiler
alert.
Oh, yeah. Giant spoilers for that episode. But it's going to be a special episode. It'll have its own channel. I'm not sure what I'm going to call it yet, even though it's going up later tonight.
Breaking Mad? I don't know.
Breaking Matt?
No. We'll call it something.
I think Give Bad some thought.
We just call it Matt and Addison Talk About Breaking Bad.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
Either way, that does bring me to our first story. The headline is Breaking Bad Breaks Ratings Record With Return, and it's from therap.com. It's like a Hollywood discussion site kind of thing. Quote, Breaking Bad grabbed big numbers with its return for its final 8 episodes Sunday night, pulling in 5.9 million total viewers, a record for the series, and a 102% increase over last summer's Season 5 premiere.
Yeah.
So when Season 5 premiered, like, they've now doubled the people that tuned in for this.
Yeah.
This, well, premiere, if you will, because this is a half season. Mm-hmm. But this,
especially it being...
I think it's better than Walking Dead. And I know I get vilified and crucified for that, but...
Why? Well, it's a million times better than Walking Dead.
Well, among my wife. She...
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just your wife's opinion.
We can let that go. I'm already going to get grief for saying that.
Well, no. Breaking Bad is three times the show that The Walking Dead is. I think The Walking Dead had a lot of possibilities. I don't like Season 3. Season 2 is a little weak in my book, too.
And we'll do some off-the-cuff analysis of that as we go.
The first season of Walking Dead is really good. But Breaking Bad, like, it 6 million people just watching the... at the premiere hour, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's good numbers, especially for a cable TV show. And, I mean, you got to think, how many people were downloading it last night?
That's true.
Hundreds of thousands
of people. Yeah, I think it was number one on the Pirate Bay.
and will probably be number one on the Pirate Bay until the next episode comes out.
Yeah. Because I don't know, what are people watching that's out right now? Because I know a lot of people were looking forward to this, but I don't know...
Well, I mean,
you had the Teen Choice Awards.
Yeah. Dexter.
Oh, is it? Did it just begin, or is it?
No, it's in like its fifth or sixth episode of the last season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, the last season.
Uh huh.
Oh, so kind of a Breaking Bad type thing.
Well, yeah, but I think actually
because this is the last season of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it comes on Sunday nights at 8, so it's like right around that Breaking Bad time slot.
Ah.
So I don't know if the premiere or the season finales are going to be on at the same time. But
well, Dexter's
a network
show, right? Like NBC or
No, Dexter is Showtime.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't watched Dexter. I've been told I need to, but
it's an okay show. I like it.
One of the first things that somebody I introduced to Breaking Bad said was that, was this shot by the same people as Dexter? And it was like, I don't know. It could,
yeah.
I have no idea. Because apparently the way it's set up and kind of the cinematography is similar between Breaking Bad and Dexter. Again, I have no idea. But so
it just, it doesn't have the same tone and the same feel to the show. It's not as well acted.
Right.
Good acting. Not great. Not the
the caliber.
Not Bryan Cranston level.
That's one thing, and we'll get off this topic before too long here in a minute, but that's one thing that I think a lot of people are surprised at when they watch Breaking Bad, because it's like, oh, here's Hal. Like, they don't really know another character. Bryan Cranston, it's not like he's really blown anything out of the water, but I think he's got 3 Emmys under his belt for Breaking Bad as it is right now.
Yeah.
And he's nailing it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and maybe you want to wait till it's finished and then just blast through him on Netflix, whatever, but I think it would come with a high recommendation from both Matt and I. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the best television show on TV right now.
Yeah.
By far.
So anyways, tune into that other episode, where we give some thought to Breaking Bad and give that some thought with us, and maybe tweet at us your analysis and what you think is going to happen, because we kind of go over that in that episode and some predictions and just some discussion on how this first episode went.
Yeah, tweet at Give Thought Show.
Yeah.
And listen to it, but listen to this show first, which you already are.
This is the premier show, yeah.
Yeah, well, this is a flagship show.
It is the flagship show.
This is a show that makes the money, brings in the fans, the people.
Where's the...
Oh, I spent it all.
Oh.
Yep.
Really?
Yep, it's gone.
Good to know.
I mean, it's only $17.50, but still.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I shudder to think where that $17 went. Either way, moving on.
2 Lord of the Rings action figures. Great deal.
Wait, there's so much that I want to say.
Well, then say it. It's a podcast. No, it's time to say it.
Because I just want to blast you personally, which I don't think this is a good format.
No, this is the perfect format. Are you kidding me? I blast myself personally every day.
Well, yeah, but still, it would be Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings is awesome. I'm rewatching the trilogy right now, the extended edition.
I'm happy for
it. I just finished Fellowship of the Ring.
Wait, aren't they like five, six hours, the extended?
One is just shy of 4 hours.
Okay.
So altogether, you're
looking... 16 hours.
No, for all 3 movies.
Wait, hold on. 4.
Yeah.
12 hours.
Thank you.
Yep.
Homeschooler, basic math right there, everyone. Way to go. No, but I just finished Fellowship last night, and I'm going to watch Towers, even though I've seen Towers so many times, but I'm going to watch Towers tonight.
Is that your favorite one?
No, Towers is actually my least favorite one.
We probably shouldn't get into Lord of the Rings.
Why not? I love Lord of the Rings. Show's about me, right? It's called Give Matt Some Thought?
No, it's not. It's called Give That Some Thought, as in we bring up topics that we give some thought, and that we'd like our listeners to give some thought.
Okay.
On that note, something we've discussed in the past, and we are discussing now again. And something, this is from Russia Today, one of our favorite news outlets.
RT, yay.
And the headline is Obama's, and I thought this was hilarious. Like, I actually broke I was listening to a podcast at work, and I paused the podcast, and I read this article, and I broke a smile as I read it, because it impresses me as humorous. But the headline is Obama's former advisor ridicules statement that NSA doesn't spy on Americans.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Did you see this, or have you heard?
I heard a little bit about it, like the whole Obama on Leno thing, which is so stupid.
Yeah,
it's just a publicity stunt.
I wasn't going to go into that, but that's. I don't think it was stupid in and of itself. I'll say that. But what I do think was stupid was the fact that he was kind of like, yeah. So this whole spying thing, we're not spying on Americans. And that's how it is. That's a very bad Obama impression on my part, but he basically said...
He's better than Ben Gleeb's.
Is it?
I think so. Mm. He does a really bad Obama, though.
He does. Well, I think his is bad for comedy. Mine was bad because I haven't put
work
into
it. Yeah, you're right. It is bad for comedy. Ben Gleeb should stop it because it's not funny. It's bad for comedy. No, but it's bad for comedic purpose. I get what you're saying. And it is a little bit, you know, hackneyed for, because, you know, that's what makes it funny. It's a derivative.
Anyways, so this cat, former special advisor for Green, Jobs Van Jones, I guess is his name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for Green Jobs Van Jones, And this is amazing. This is an incredible quote. Like, oh, he says, quote, "Everybody knows I love this president, but this is ridiculous." Former special advisor for Green Jobs Van Jones said Wednesday on CNN, quote, "First of all, we do have a domestic spying program." And what we... I can't even...
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
Nope, you're wrong.
Yeah. Like, I was there. Of course we do.
Yeah.
First of all, we do have a domestic spying program. And what we need to be able to do is figure out how to balance these things, not pretend like there's no balancing to be done.
Yeah.
Which I think, like... Because you can err on either side of, well, of course we need this for the security of the American people is one side.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can err on the other side of, no, the government shouldn't spy on the people at all.
Yeah.
But as with most things, I think with this thing, there's some balance. There's some reasonable balance to be had between the civil liberties of the American people and the world and and how you're going to protect them. Because we do live in an age where we have terrorists that are downloading pressure cooker manuals off the internet and putting together makeshift bombs and placing them at marathons.
Okay? Yeah.
And we have an age where people are planning to fly planes into buildings and blow up subways and on and on and on and on. And they're communicating in an electronic digital format. Okay. So, but rather than just say, okay, let's just set up a dragnet, catch it all. Because that's not right, because you're spying on people that don't deserve to have their liberties infringed on. But again, I think there's some balance there, and I think that's what this guy gets, that there's some reasonable balance to be had. Am I right, or is there just should it just be no spying at all? Even though that might be where you would tend to lean.
Yeah, there needs to be a balance of justifiable espionage. Espionage is okay as long as you're not using it to suppress the people, which the United States government is. The problem with this thing, though, is that for every one sane person out there in government who is trying to ensure freedoms, you have 1,000 lemmings who are running after the money
and the power
and doing what they're told so they can stay where they are or move up to the next level. We need to protect ourselves against our government.
Yeah.
And not in a take up arms and shoot people or blow up hospitals or, you
don't,
know, or
don't
bomb.
Go Tyler Durden.
Yeah. Don't do crazy stuff, but we need to stand up and protect ourselves.
Yeah.
Electronically, socially, you know, and legislatively, we need to protect ourselves from our government, and we need to make sure that We stop people who are allowing the government to continue this kind of thing.
Still having national security someone on the burner, too.
It's such a...
There's a balance there.
It's such a harbinger of what's to come, I think, for this country, is the fact that every country in the world, once it starts to turn on its own citizens, it's headed for a fall.
Yeah, it never works out.
I mean, it's never a good idea, and it always either heads for a fall or comes to a point of a totalitarian regime, and you have massive, you know, actual physical oppression and violence against
and
its own people.
You
know, why haven't we seen a lot of the uprisings in the United States that we've seen in the Middle East and other places in the world? You know, we're apathetic, we're lazy, and we think the government is going to protect us when it's actually not. It's not.
Two reasons why we haven't seen that. Number one, fluoride. Number two,
exactly.
Number two, because we use Twitter for pictures of our dinner rather than social justice.
Exactly.
Moving
on. We need to be social. What we need is everybody to turn
less dinner, more activism.
We need everybody to turn into social media Batmans.
Yeah.
And take down the man.
And enough Twitter dinners.
Yeah, but I already schooled you on fluoride. I already told you all about fluoride.
Yeah, I've heard your theories on that.
Yeah.
Either way, he continues.
It's delicious. That's my theory.
I mean, Matt was doing shots of fluoride right before we came on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy puts the president on blast, man. So he goes on, quote, but
much... Well, people have to. If we're going to get anything done, people have to. You have to call into question. I mean, at this point in the game, Obama should be impeached, but then Bush should have been impeached, too.
Yeah.
What's the answer? I don't know. I honestly can't say, because it doesn't seem like voting is the answer. Yeah. I mean, it's not real change.
Either there's enough dumb voting, dumb voters, or the system is too rigged and
it's
power hungry and money hungry anyways.
Because Hillary's going to do the same thing, or if she doesn't win, then Christie's going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
You know, that's the 2016 election. It's Chris Christie versus Hillary Clinton.
Well, my brother's theory is, and this is kind of interesting, and we've been chatting about this. He says, and then I'll hit this and I'll move on, but he says that the next president is going to be either moderate or to the right for 4 years. And then he said, then we're going to, because it's so bad with Obamacare being fully in effect and things like that and jobs, et cetera, he said, then he thinks we're going to have a following 8 years of an extremely liberal president that's just going to push us over the edge.
Yeah.
As far as civil liberties and spending and not having a fiscally conservative and fiscally sound policy, which, let's be honest, I don't think anybody has at this point. But
it's that doesn't even matter as much, I think, as some of the corruption.
The spending, though, like, don't you think some banks in some countries are going to wonder when the checks are going to come?
Yeah, America.
I mean, come on.
What happened with the banks, though, in 2011?
Well, yeah, we all gave them a bunch of money.
Well, it was too big to fail. The United States government is too big to fail at this point.
No, but that's the thing, though. But our global neighbors, like, you're not going to tell a China, a North Korea, someone else is looking to either the dollar or the amount of debt that we've sold them. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to tell them, hey, we're too big to fail.
No,
here's some more money that doesn't mean anything.
No, you're not. But it,
you know,
the money does mean that at that level of the game, the money does mean something. It means that you're in debt to us.
Uh huh.
Okay. One country loves to own the debt of another country because it means that country is beholden to the other country. They owe them something. They have to fall in line. China has an economic strong arm on us because they own so much of our debt.
Because of Walmart.
So does Germany. Okay.
Yeah.
Germany in the past couple of weeks has been like, hey, United States,
what's up?
Straighten up and fly right with this stuff. Because,
well, and the thing, and I'm going to get into this in a minute,
because you're not going to be able to make any money and pay us back.
Yeah.
If the lemmings are fighting and opening up the cages and, you know, going to overthrow you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, and and this is actually the next story that I'm going to get into.
And don't spy on us, because we will kill you.
Yeah, and because Russia has completely.
Yeah, we are the Germans. We will kill you.
That's not German at all.
That's not?
No, that was. I don't. We'll just move on.
We are the Germans. We kill you. You have no hope.
Closer. One more try.
There's the Schnitzel. I don't know.
Anyways,
I tried to do a German accent, knowing that my Arnold Schwarzenegger accent is terrible.
Yeah,
it's just terrible.
Yeah.
Anyways. It's just terrible. Would you just swag hat? What is that swag hat you have on?
Yeah, I've got the swag hat on this time.
And you're wearing the Heisenberg t-shirt again.
Yeah.
Ah! Ha ha ha! Now tell me that wasn't a bad... That was a terrible Schwarzenegger.
That was a terrible Schwarzenegger.
Don't make fun of my stutter.
No, I am.
Okay? Don't make fun of my stutter.
I just did.
You're a bully.
Anyways,
he goes on.
Picking on the handicapped. Quote.
Bully.
But much more important, he said something
else.
Here
I am trying to break down barriers by having someone with a slight drug-induced speech impediment, and you're like all bullying me and stuff.
I'm sorry.
God, you're hurting
from
my
the bottom of my swag-covered heart.
Well, next time, give some thought to my feelings, okay?
Okay.
Jeez.
Quote, but much more important, he said something else that I thought was really awful. He said that if somebody like Snowden wanted to be a whistleblower, they could have gone ahead, which, as we know, is totally not the case with President Obama. And he goes on, he says, well, hold on a second, sir. And I think the audio is on this page that we're going to link to. Well, hold on a second, sir. That is, you are right now prosecuting more whistleblowers, not only than any American president, than every other American president combined.
Yeah.
So you can't then come out on Leno and yuck it up and say, well, whistleblowers, come on out and we'll treat you right.
That's still bad. Hey there, Obama. How you doing? Hey, you seen this? You heard about this? The American people say that you're spying on them. What's a
well, whistleblowers,
what's going on with that?
Come on out and we'll treat you right because you haven't been doing that.
Hey, treat them right. Well, have you seen about this or heard about this? This guy saying you're no good. You're just awful.
Well, I am the best president that this country has ever had, and that's why I can airlift my dog wherever I want to. I don't know if you saw that story.
What happened?
The right is making a huge deal out of Obama went to Martha's Vineyard for the weekend, and then they forgot the dog or wanted the dog afterwards.
Yeah.
And so they airlifted the dog on a Marine helicopter at the cost of $40,000 or $50,000.
Yeah.
So the right, of course, is spending, spending, spending.
Yeah. I mean,
as they would with Bush, or, you know, that's it's politics.
The cost of the helicopter ride would only have been $1,500 if the right wasn't so intent on spending so much money on an bloated military budget.
Okay.
That is taking over the world, trying to be the world police, this military industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about. And then we said, oh, no, we want to be safe. We want to be safe. And the Republicans were like, guns, trucks, beer, nah. And, like, you know, now,
you haven't had
now
your fluoride in a while, Matt.
Now we're spending $50 on a screw.
You have.
To, like, you know, like, seriously. And that stuff's been around for a while. But did you see that on Reddit? There's a picture of the shipping manifold for a military, just a military inventory. It's like a shipping manifold and had prices and stuff like that.
Like an order form?
Yeah.
Could I purchase? Well, no, I can't purchase.
No, you can't purchase unless you're like a government contractor. But it had a price listing and it showed like the serial
number. Pockets can I grease to become a government contractor?
It showed a single screw.
Yeah.
Okay. Inside of a plastic pouch with a cardboard backing. Okay. Just a single screw packed that way. First off, with that much packaging. Second off, it showed the serial number and then it had the serial number on the invoice sheet highlighted with a cost. $39.
Well, hey, man, screws are important.
Yeah, unless that...
You gotta have the right screws for the job.
Well, unless that screw's made out of like Joan of Arc's bones, okay, or like the remains of Jesus Christ,
yeah,
like you know, wrapped in
Saint Peter's
in the Shroud of Turin,
tooth enamel, yeah.
Like, there's no way that the screw should be costing $40.
Yeah,
okay, even like a titanium screw, like the cost on that, especially for a government contractor where it's supposed to be the lowest bid.
Yeah,
that should not.
The government contractor's
like
not the lowest
bucks.
Bid. It's for everybody to make a buck, man.
Well, yeah, absolutely it is. Yeah. Absolutely. But it's supposed to be.
You haven't had your fluoride in a while, though.
No. Well, no, I haven't been brushing my teeth.
Give that some thought.
Give that some thought. And give that some thanks that you can only hear me and not smell me.
Yeah.
At this point. No, I brushed my teeth like a couple hours ago.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
No, it happened. You were here when it happened because I got up from my nap. You rudely,
that's true. You came out
came
with
in.
A toothbrush in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You rudely came in, woke me up from my nap. Daniel and Lindsay
were
being all quiet.
Yeah, I said I was coming over.
Well, you know.
You said, come over. We'll record a podcast.
That's true.
We'll watch Breaking Bad. We'll record a podcast. These were as much your plans as they were mine.
I didn't, but see, I
in
had...
In place from like Friday night of last weekend.
We all went to Hibachi. Dano and Lindsay and I, we went to Hibachi.
Those are Matt's roommates.
Yeah,
for
we went to
listeners.
Hibachi and we ate Chinese buffet and then... I got super stuffed, and I came home and took a nap, and like when I woke up, I was all cranky and surly and farty and just not in the mood for anybody. And then it was like the beginning of the end of Breaking Bad, so I'm like, I'm having this emotional breakdown because Breaking Bad is ending, and I don't want to watch the last of it because then there'll be no more Breaking Bad. Like, I have that emotional attachment to some like things that I get like really into. Like, I was sad about having to see Return of the King the first time I saw it just because I was like, this is the end. This is it. Like, there's no more of it.
No, there's three more Hobbits. Well, one Hobbit, but three movies.
Yeah, but, like, you know the
and Peter Jackson's laughing all the way to the bank.
You know that The Hobbit is a prequel,
just
right?
Just so you know.
The Hobbit is a prequel to The Lord of the Rings?
What do you mean by prequel?
Well, the story of The Hobbit happens before the story of The Lord of the Rings.
No, it's not.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, because they made the first three movies, and then they made... Now they're making these three.
Yeah. But you know how, like, Star Wars, they made the first three movies and then they came back 20 years later and then destroyed those movies?
What do you mean by Star Wars?
Like, Star Wars, like, dun, 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 dun.
Oh, Indiana Jones.
No, Star Wars. Big words floating through space. Wookiees and Millennium Falcons.
Yeah, I don't follow.
Ewoks. Yum, 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 yum.
How does he walk?
He walks just fine now that he had the surgery.
Oh.
Dun, 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 dun.
Anyways, the next story, and this actually provided what I think, and I wanted to say give that some thought after that bit, but I don't feel comfortable doing
that. That's brain fart right there.
Yeah. This next story, though, I think provides a really interesting viewpoint into this whole NSA thing, okay? And this is kind of the viewpoint that, that I think I have, and I think you'll agree as I read it to you. The headline is, the NSA is commandeering the internet, and it's from The Atlantic. And as usual, we'll link to it. You know, if you go to tripodbroadcasting.com/givethatsomethought, you can look at a show notes for each episode. And now this guy, basically, from what I can tell, it's opinion. He's not really saying anything new, as far as the news is concerned with Prism and all that. But he references Prism and things like that, or Prism. And I'm just going to read to you a portion of it. He says, the extreme case of fighting is shutting down entirely. The secure email service, and I don't know if you heard this news, but the secure email service LavaBit did that last week, abruptly.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that.
Yeah, Ladar, I'm not sure how you say it, but Ladar Levison, the site's owner, wrote on his homepage, quote, I have been forced to make a difficult decision to become complicit in crimes against the American people or walk away from nearly 10 years of hard work by shutting down LavaBit. After significant soul searching, I have decided to suspend operations. I wish that I could legally share with you the events that led to my decision. So basically, he came up with a software or a protocol that is secure, encrypted, and the United States government or the powers that be or what have you began, from what we can tell, pressuring him and kind of like, you can't have something that we can't see. And he's like, I'm not going to jail for this, which maybe he bowed out. Maybe that was the low road, be that as it may. But he basically said, I'm not doing this. You know, I'm not getting caught in between this, and I'm not. And he threw away, like he said, 10 years of hard work. And then it goes on. The same day, Silent Circle followed suit, shutting down their email service in advance of any government strong arm tactics. And their statement is, quote, we see the writing on the wall, and we have decided that it is best for us to shut down Silent Mail now. We have not received subpoenas, warrants, security letters, or anything else by any government, and this is why we are acting now. And then the opinion, the article goes on, and this is the key part, I think. It's time we called the government's actions what it really is, commandeering. Commandeering is a practice we're used to in wartime, where commercial ships are taken for military use or production lines are converted to military production. But now it's happening in peacetime. Vast swaths of the internet are being commandeered to support this surveillance state.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I ran across this and I was like, that couldn't be more accurate. Especially now that you have, like, these two companies. I think there's a third one on board or getting ready to. But they've basically said, the one guy obviously was under some pressure and made the decision for himself, I'm not doing this. And the other guys were like, okay, look at what he went through. Well, we're not going to do this at all. We're just bowing out. So it's almost like there's almost an intimidation factor really there. Absolutely. on the part of the government.
Sure.
That you can't build a protocol that we can't look at, which, and I this isn't a plug by any means, but I think I mentioned earlier on, the founders of the Pirate Bay are working on a secure messaging protocol that'll be for iPhone and Android and things like that, where, you know, it's completely encrypted. And it'll be interesting to see where they go, because I don't know if you know anything about, and they just actually had their 10-year birthday this past week or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you're familiar with what they do, but they, if anyone in the world, an organization or group or company has thumbed their nose at the government and the law, it's the Pirate Bay.
Yeah.
Okay. They get letters from governments and entities and, I mean, AOL, Microsoft, all the big guys. And then when they get the letters, they post them up on their website and they say, here's what they sent us. And fart you, you know, and so
I don't think they say fart.
I think they say a few other things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see where they're going to come down if and when they get the kind of the pressure that some of these other companies and things have gotten for. And it makes you wonder, because just because somebody said something's secure doesn't mean it's secure.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's not open source and the code isn't available, this is getting kind of into nerddom, but if it's not open source and the code isn't available for outside experts to look at and say, here's your flaw, here's your flaw, here's your flaw.
Yeah.
Then it's closed source and there could be a government backdoor. That's just the facts of it.
Mm.
So anyways, your thoughts, if any, on where the private sector is going to take this.
I mean, good on Pirate Bay for keeping on. Keeping on, you know,
yeah.
Keep on going. the United States government, as far as surveillance, is out of control. It's kind of clear that this is a power play to take control over the internet.
Yeah.
You know, the thing with Britain a couple weeks ago about them doing the whole porn blocker.
Mm-hmm.
But when that porn blocker is installed, it doesn't just block pornography. It blocks a myriad of other things.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure copyright quote unquote, things.
Yeah, the quote-unquote porn blocker. Porn is a cover for the things that they really want to block.
They just censor the internet.
They don't care if you're looking at naked pictures on the internet. They don't care about that. They do care if you're looking at, if you're, you know, downloading things illegally. They care if you are sending information that they can't access.
Yeah.
So and that's all it is. It's, you have to opt out of each of these things that the government is blocking in the UK on the internet. Other than if you don't, it's automatically blocked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a lot of people will think, oh, well, we'll just make sure porn is unblocked, or we'll just go with it because I don't want my husband looking at porn, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't realize that they're also blocking so many other sources of information about what the governments of the world are actually doing. Surveillance right now.
It makes me think back, and I think this was like a year maybe or more. I think it was Egypt. Mm-hmm. For a time kind of had, I don't know if they have a government internet or if it's just can be regulated pretty well by the government, but they blocked access to Twitter at one point for I think like a month or more.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were like, this is causing a problem, people are communicating on here on rising up and saying things about the government, et cetera. And people are sending pictures and data and videos and information from what's really happening to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And we're going to shut that down. And effectively they did.
But within hours of it being shut down, Egyptian programmers were back at it, programming other forms of communication. And those forms were being used. And it didn't do anything to stop
the flow of information. Yeah.
No. Not at all, because a programmer will be able to get past that, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
It's just, I think that we're going to look back on this period 20 years from now and say, like, wow, do you remember when we had a free internet? You remember when we could look at anything on the internet and post anything we wanted to on the internet and look back? Yeah, because governments don't take steps back.
That's true.
The United States government, when was the last time they took a step back? When was the last time? Seriously.
Yeah.
It just hasn't happened. So there's no way they're going to be like, yeah, you know what, guys? We were wrong.
That whole
NSA Prism thing, we really screwed the pooch on that one.
Yeah.
We're going to let you guys go ahead and have your internet back. We won't be listening to your phone calls or reading your text messages anymore. We're sorry. Here, have a gift basket with some lovely fruits in inside of it and some chocolate-covered pretzels.
Fruits and nuts, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to happen. They're going to keep on going until
and getting stronger and more intrusive
until the populace gives up / gets used to it. I see a very slow progression over the next 20 years of the government just tweaking this and tweaking that on your privacy and this on the information you can access and and this on your surveillance. And before long, you've grown up on it. You're used to it. You've been programmed and your mind has been programmed to believe that that's just the way the things should be. That's
a normality,
It's normal for the government to listen to everything that you're doing, and they won't be used to a time when there wasn't. Just like we're not used to a time when there weren't computers.
Yeah,
I can't tell you. I can remember when there wasn't a computer in the house. I can remember when nobody had a cell phone. I can remember those times. I can't tell you what it's like.
Yeah,
because it's been so long since I've had a cell phone now for 14 years, 15 years.
Yeah.
Like since
if you
eight,
don't, if
18.
You don't, I mean, like there was a note. What movie? In We're the Millers. There's this real quick bit where this girl goes, or this homeless chick is out there, and she's about to get like beat up, and this guy stops her, and she's like, she pulls out her phone, and he's like, "You're homeless. How do you have an iPhone?" And I kind of chuckled, but I was like, "That's everyone has it."
Yeah, and
everyone.
Like you think, like our parents had us. We were born in the 80s.
Yeah.
So our parents, even our parents, so our people our age growing up in their 20s right now, in their late 20s, they can't conceive of a time when there wasn't a computer in the home.
Yeah.
Right? People who...
I remember when we got our first one.
Yeah.
People, which was, again, very, like...
Yeah, people who are now, you know, in grade school won't be able to remember a time when there wasn't absolute government surveillance.
Yeah.
And it'll
be really wild.
It'll be normal to them, and they won't be able to live their lives without it.
Yeah. Well, as a
meanwhile, you and I will be hunkered down in our bunker with our tinfoil hats on,
with no fluoride in there.
No fluoride. Unfluoridated water. I'll be spinning the dial like a ham radio, trying to find a signal from one of the other rebels.
Yeah,
you know, just a 10-year stockpile of Cheez-Its and peanut butter behind me.
I can see that. My mind's eye, I can see that.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
A big old stack of voluptuous magazines and like an M16 in my lap, just
and a swag hat on top.
A swag hat.
General
on top,
swag.
Just waiting for the government to come.
Yeah.
You come for my free internet, government? I'll show you. I use my Second Amendment rights. Yeah, it's going to be me.
Give that some thought.
Just with, yeah, just stag beer. Just empty stag beer cans littered across the floor.
Yeah, that's the apocalypse. Matt, crap's really hit the fan. Where should we head? Dude, we got to head to the stag beer factory. We got to head to the brewery. Mm-hmm. We got to get down there and get what they have left and then get out. Yeah. Or build up there. Stay there.
Yeah, we're going to build a fortress. Where? The Stag Brewing Company. We're going to Milwaukee.
5%?
Yeah. We're going to Milwaukee.
We are the 5%. That's your moniker. Give that some thought.
It's super cheap and it's delicious. Yeah, just like everybody else in the apocalypse, they're going to be going after like the Twinkie factories.
And the prisons. And
yeah, no, not me. Not my family.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if my family's coming, but if they choose to come, if they choose to walk the Heroes
Stag
Road.
Factory, the Stag Brewing.
Yeah, we're going to go. I just called the post-apocalyptic Matt the Hero's Road. Walking the Hero's Road.
Give that some thought.
Yeah, well, Fallout 3.
Moving on. Another person who's in the news, still in the news, bit of a different angle this time, someone close to your heart. And I debated so much putting this in.
Well, it's in now.
And you'll see why.
You can't take it back. You can't unsay those things.
You'll see why. The article is from the New York Post. We'll link to it, per the use.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
The headline is Mayoral Candidate Anthony Weiner being filmed for possible documentary.
Ugh.
Hold on. Let me read this. Quote, the Post spied MTV filmmaker Josh Kriegman, who is also Weiner's former congressional district director. Okay, if... Pause. What? So he's an MTV filmmaker and he's a congressional district director?
Really?
It seems like a bit of an odd resume for Mr. Kriegman. Either way, who is also Weiner's former congressional district director, filming his every last word on the campaign trail recently. He's often seen riding with Weiner, and a black mic box has been in Weiner's back pants pocket for at least 2 weeks.
Oh, God.
The response is, oh, I wish you could see the look on Matt's face right now.
No, they're going to make them reality stars.
Hold on.
Gosh.
The responses to Weiner on the campaign trail have ranged from celebrity spotting like squealing to profane heckling. At the Dominican Day Parade yesterday, Weiner waved a big flag and dashed around shouting, Viva la República Dominica! The response ranged from, quote, we love you, Weiner, to, quote, you're a piece of excrement, to, quote, text me. Which I thought was interesting. And then my last final note, just for our listeners and for you as well, no word on whether Huma Abedin will appear in the potential documentary.
I hope she has the good sense to stay the F away from it. But it seems to me that like whatever, it looks like MTV, but whatever network is trying to get, and you know that they're trying to get a reality show made about him. They do it for everybody. But don't call it.
It would be viewers. I mean,
yeah,
let's be real.
But let's be real about one thing. Don't call it a documentary, okay? Don't call it. No, that's bullshit. This is a reality TV show. This is not a documentary.
Because the documentary appears in the headline, like they call it a documentary, but then I don't think it really kind of goes that route in the article.
This is them giving him his own reality TV show, and I can't see any network like pitching this show, this idea, without trying to get Huma on board.
Yeah.
I really hope she doesn't, but I mean, fame is fame, and that's how you get things going. But how screwed up of a country and a civilization, a culture do we live in when someone can do something so stupid when they're in the public eye, when they're running for office, and continue to do that stupid, stupid thing that makes people not trust them, okay, that makes you question their moral character and the soundness of their conviction, when we instead of vilifying them, instead of their career being over, we lionize them. We make them into heroes. We are so obsessed with anybody who has even a modicum of fame, has even a slightly well known. We're obsessed with making them bigger. We're obsessed with any flavor of the week, trying to squeeze all the information that we can out of them. We want to see them. We want to hear them. We want to know everything about them. Like, it's almost a disease. It's a social disorder at this point where we're so obsessed. We take somebody who should be so vilified and who should not feel good about what they've done, and all of a sudden they still have a shot to win, to become the mayor of the largest city in America.
Yeah.
Like, how is that happening? It's ridiculous. It's stupid. It makes me angry, but and sad all at the same time. Like, this kind of...
He is crying as he's ranting for our listeners.
I'm too emotionally exhausted from this stupidity.
Yeah.
To cry right now.
That was one thing, real quick, still on this story. With the Sydney Leathers, the girl, I guess, that he texted or last or most recent or whatever.
Yeah, I heard about her, too.
Well, okay, and here's the deal.
Like, she's trying to get a porn deal?
Well, hold on. I'm going to get to that. But obviously, in this situation, the victim, okay, that's clear.
And, no.
Well, hold on.
No.
Hold on.
No.
Hold on. Hold on. Yes, she made the decision, but she, and I don't know what her reasoning was or things like that, but if you look at the two characters, the one that should have said.
They're not characters, they're real people.
If you look at the two people,
another problem that's indicative of our culture is we're like, oh, they're characters. They're not. That's not really who they are. No, that's really who they are. And it's sick. It's
well, but
weird.
Here's the deal, though. But of those two people, the one that you should expect to and should have pulled the trigger and said, nope, this is not what we're doing, should have been him. Okay, because of his responsibility, because of his position, because of what he was trying to do and trying to accomplish and change things, and then the mayoral race, et cetera, et cetera. So he's the one that's making more of a bad decision. Now, I'm not taking the blame off of her, and actually I'm going to place more on her as I say what I'm going to say here, because she ran this gamut of. She did Howard. She did Hannity.
Yeah.
She did every talk show available to man. And it's like, okay, but how much of that was really necessary? I mean, if she hadn't had a name and a face, the story is the story. And the man who is the crux of the story has made the mistake that he's made, and it should affect his career, however it's going to. And why does she need to get out there and tell, juicy, and then how you do hair quotes, juicy details of this type of relationship. Why do we need to hear any of that, really?
We don't.
All? Exactly.
We don't.
And that's kind
but
of...
But people want to.
Well, yeah, and then she was caught, I guess she met with Vivid about all this stuff, and she's now modeling a line of whatever it is. And
modeling, quote unquote.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't see the relevance to the actual story, because the actual story is that you have a man in politics who has no regard for personal character because he's married and he's doing these things.
I don't know that he has complete disregard for moral character.
Well, but that's the question, though, as a voter, as a citizen.
Yeah.
How can he lead when he has no regard for a promise that he made to somebody?
Yeah. I don't if the mayor of Duluth, Minnesota was doing this, like, I don't care.
And maybe he is. We don't know.
Hey, you know, Duluthians like to get down just like anybody else.
It's
Come
true.
Come on now.
Yeah.
You know how they like it, daddy?
God, I don't.
Anyway, but he's running for the mayor of New York.
Yeah.
Like one of the most powerful cities in the world.
Yeah, it's
He's
true.
Running.
Yeah.
He wants to run it.
And attempting to do all this at the same time and say essentially that it doesn't matter. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And we don't need to hear. She doesn't need to go on Howard and talk about how many hours they would talk a day on the phone. I don't think.
Yeah.
That's just my two cents. And I love Howard, but come on.
First off, Leathers, what's her name? Cynthia Leathers?
Sydney Leathers.
Sydney Leathers.
I believe that's a pseudonym. I pray to God.
If it's not, first off, kill their parents. Second off, her parents. Second off, well, don't kill, but like sit them down and give them the stern talking to about decision making.
Let them take asylum in Uganda.
Yeah. Secondly, yeah, that's a porn name. Okay.
Sydney Leathers.
Sydney Leathers. Yeah. That's a porn name.
Well, that's what makes me think it's a pseudonym.
First of all, okay, about Miss Sydney Leathers. She wasn't a part of the first round of Wiener Texts.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think we got a solid number.
No.
Yeah.
But she was a part of round two. You know how many people were sending him things after that stuff came out, if they got his number? She was one of the ones who got through, and he was interested, and she continued a relationship. She's a hustler. From the get go, she was looking to see what she can get out of this. And
probably.
If it jump starts her porn career or her acting career or whatever,
modeling or whatever you want to call it.
Like it's just a way for her to gain celebrity, and if she has to do that by, you know, doing XXX porn, then that's how she's gonna get celebrity. And like that to me is that's wrong. It's you're selling yourself out to get famous. Like if you're gonna do porn, do it because you want to do porn,
right?
You know, do it because you're good at it and you know you make money or whatever,
right?
No, don't look at me with that face. There's some people who are good at sex and some people who are terrible. You know,
yeah.
I just happen to be one of the persons blessed with prowess beyond imagination in that department. Yeah, don't try to deny it.
See, I'm trying to say give that some thought after every story, and you just keep giving me a reason not to.
Well, I think that our listeners should be giving my sexual prowess some thought.
Only the female ones. And only the single ones. No politicians, please. I don't need that scandal.
No, my...
As a network.
Yeah.
I don't need...
My sexuality isn't threatened if a gay man wants to fantasize about me. That's on him. You know? No big deal. Right. I'm not threatened by it.
Anyways... That's apparently what's going on with Wienergate, and I wanted to give you the chance to comment on that.
Well,
anyways,
I just did comment on it. Like
I actually have more to that story.
That's my comment on it.
Well, it's sad, and that was my whole, because I was going to spin it that way anyway.
It makes me lose hope.
She did this whole gamut of all these talk shows and all that. Like,
yeah.
Why?
Because you want to get famous.
But you're not a part of the story. Really? You're really not.
She is, but
not in an intimate way where you need to get on Howard Stern and talk about what you talked about on the phone and how many times he would get off and just really, really gross, intimate parts of that story.
Yeah.
There's no need for that.
But people want to hear it. Well, that's why Howard Stern has millions of listeners.
It's true.
Yeah. People don't want to hear me.
And that lawsuit, that most recent lawsuit should have went in his favor, by the way. But we'll let that go.
People don't want to hear me speak the truth about my sexual prowess and cheese and stag beer. That's why they don't tune in as much. But I would like to thank...
Our numbers are growing. And we thank the listeners.
That's true.
No,
I was about to thank and applaud people who do listen because we need to spread the word. Spread the word about me. I'm
awesome.
How
can you even...
And this show's pretty good, too. I mean...
He says that with a completely straight face. Spread the word about me.
Yeah. I've been spreading the word about me for 30 years now.
Unbelievable.
Living the dream. Lubing the deals. Doing the weird stuff.
Anyways. All right. Now, this last story, we could want to kill each other after.
Okay.
Okay. So, beforehand, I want to... As I reach across the table, I want to shake your hand... And I want to say...
I don't know if I want to do this yet.
I want to say...
Until I know what it is.
Bros, and we'll be back for episode 10. Wait, okay. Next week will be episode 10.
So if this episode ends in fisticuffs, we'll just...
We'll do it bruised up next week.
Okay.
Right. Deal?
Deal.
All right, we've shaken hands.
Yes. You can hear the handshake.
Yeah. We'll get a picture of that for Twitter.
It's getting tighter and tighter. Why is it doing that?
Because I think it's important as we go into this next story.
Fine.
All right. Two links that I want to share with regards to this story. The first one is from the Huffington Post, which ordinarily I don't like to link to because it's an opinion site. That's what it is.
Yeah. Because it's an opinion site ran by women. That's dad doesn't like women.
Maybe. It's run by one woman. And if you'll recall, Andrew Breitbart helped her start that website.
Yeah.
And the most famous words that Arianna Huffington ever said to Andrew Breitbart are, "Congratulations, you won." Okay? So... We'll let that go.
Point given.
Andrew Breitbart's one of my heroes. The headline is 80% want minimum wage.
Oh, God.
Raised.
All right, here we go. Yep. Ding. Round one.
Raised to.
I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
$10.10 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, this is the poll that I got from the article, just which is the facts of the case. The poll, which was conducted by the public opinion research firm Hart Research Associates, found 80% of the respondents agree that the minimum wage should be raised to $10.10 an hour and increased periodically to account for rising costs.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to let you go ahead and have the floor, and I want you to tell, for me and for our listeners, and if any of you follow us on Twitter, you already know a little bit of where we stand on this issue.
Yeah, and you know for certain that I can type in all caps.
Yeah, it was unclear at first whether he had found that button on his tiny Android North Korean.
No, I've known
keyboard.
About it for a while now.
But
yeah.
Anyways, what are your thoughts on that, and why? Quickly, if you would.
All right, the minimum wage in this country. Is,
which, and I think for clarification, it's seven, as a base, it's at 750 maybe?
Or? No, it's lower than that. It's like 715, 725, something like that. In Missouri, the minimum wage is 735. And Missouri is low on the scale.
725.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 725. Okay. Yeah. So if you work a 40-hour work week, you're making $282.50.
A week.
A week.
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean you're making roughly around $1,100, just over $1,100
a month.
Yeah. Okay. So you take out rent, five or six. You take out gas, maybe another one to two.
Mm-hmm.
So you're at seven and eight there.
Mm-hmm.
You take out another $100 for another some bills.
Mm-hmm.
You're at nine, so that gives you about $200 to play with,
mm-hmm.
and that's just you haven't spent anything on groceries yet. Okay, so a month's worth of groceries. All right, $200. That's $50 a week to feed yourself. Okay, can be done.
I'm doing it now.
You're not eating in style, but it can be done. That's one person. Okay, so that's not factoring in dependents. So if you have a kid, or if you're a single mother, a single father, if you're divorced and you don't have alimony or whatever, like to be able to support a family on an income like that for two people, a married family. To both work minimum wage jobs and have a couple of kids, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like you need, in this country now, in order to support yourself fully and not use any government handouts, and if you're a single mom working a minimum wage job or even $8 or $9 an hour as a wage, you can't support yourself without WIC, without food stamps. Okay. Those are things that you need to get by.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not counting diapers and healthcare, and doctor's visits, and other things, that, school clothes, you know, and all these things that kids need. Kids are expensive. Like, you can't do it alone, okay? It takes two paychecks if you're working a minimum wage job to do that. At $10 an hour, $3 an hour more, okay? You're clearing like $320,
uh-huh.
Okay? And that number I threw up there, $1,100, that's before taxes.
Essentially, yeah, yeah. I was going to remark that, actually. So you're looking at, if you have two people doing that, that's about $2,000 a month.
Knock off, yeah, and then knock off, well, if you have one person doing that, knock off 10% of what they're making. So all of a sudden, they're making under less than $1,000 a month. And, I mean, it's freaking hard to do.
Yeah.
On that level. But even if you're making $10 an hour, okay, you're going to clear about $320.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be making $1,280.
Mm-hmm.
At the end. So even then, just as a single person, no dependents, again, you're still just getting by.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just enough to support you without having to use food stamps or, you know, government aid or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So why isn't it that the least we can do in this country is ensure that every person can support themselves and work, and if they work 40 hours a week, no matter what that job is, they can support themselves. And if you can do that, all of a sudden you don't have as many people on the government teat. You don't have as many people getting handout. I don't want to call them handout, but the social services and social programs.
Well, they're handed out either, and that's not a bad term either way. Yeah.
It has some negative connotation, but the social programs in this country,
uh-huh,
meant to help people get by, it's not as many people that need them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not people can qualify out of them. Okay, mm-hmm. They no longer qualify to be able to afford them, unless you're like, you know, a single mom, and which, you know, we have those safeguards in place already. But if, and here's the kicker, here's the stat that boggles my mind. Okay, mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. I retweeted this a couple months ago. It's an article, but if the minimum wage had kept up with inflation since World War II,
mm-hmm.
that minimum wage would be at $17.35 an hour.
Right.
Okay. You can support a family making that much money.
Yeah.
Okay, you can support a wife and two kids where, well, a wife doesn't have to work. And if she wants to get a job, part-time job, whatever, you can, you know, you're all of a sudden you're making double, or you're making more, okay, you're making 40, 50, 100% more.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually build a good life. A good, hardworking, honest American life. The American dream, right?
Right.
If you're making that much.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not. We're paying people in minimum wage $10 less. $10 less an hour. And we're expecting them to survive and come out of and be able to fight rising inflation.
Yeah.
You know, you have to remember, like, I put this on Twitter. Remember the lessons of Henry Ford, okay? Henry Ford was kind of a bad guy late in life, but he had some good things going. One of those things, which he paid his workers more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Okay. 2-3 times more.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he do that? Number one, he wanted to acquire the best workers. Okay. If McDonald's today decided to pay every worker at least $10 an hour, do you want, no man, and a little bit background on me, I work in restaurants, I've cooked, I've managed, I've
yeah,
served.
Yeah, as have I, yeah.
Okay. And so I know the restaurant business pretty well. If McDonald's today, and I'm very good at it, let's start it in there, I'm a good cook, I know what I'm doing in a kitchen, okay? Front or back of house, I'm home in a restaurant, I know how to do that work.
It's true, I've seen him do some wild things in the kitchen.
Anyway, One of the things is, yeah, you're not kidding, wild things in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Stop.
But a worker like me who has experience, a good resume, who can walk in and get a job,
mm-hmm.
okay, easily in a restaurant. If McDonald's paid $10 an hour, do you know the quality of their workmanship? How high it would go?
No.
How fast it would go up?
No.
Yes,
I've been silent this whole time.
No. Oh, go. Just let me finish my thoughts, okay?
Okay.
First off,
yeah,
if McDonald's...
you've got a platform right
if
now.
McDonald's paid $10 an hour, first off, that's more than they're making now.
Mm-hmm.
Not, like, pennies more, but still mm-hmm. more. I would work at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
I would work up into middle management if that's what it, you know, took to even make more than, you know, $10 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
People like me... would, who have good experience at restaurants, would work. The you wouldn't have 15-year-olds who this is their first job and they're just doing it because their parents are making them get a job working there. You'd have people who are in their 20s and 30s and 40s, people who are doing this as suddenly as a career. It does great things for the McDonald's brand. But going back to Henry Ford, he paid his employees more because he wanted to attract better quality employees. Secondly, he knew that the people, and in order to make the Ford Motor Company a large company, in order to achieve the goals he wanted to with that company, he had to make sure that everybody could buy that car, that it would be affordable no matter what. So if you want to sell your if you're thinking of employees as customers too, you want to sell your employees the car that they're making.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe give them a discount, but you want to sell it to them too. So you have to ensure that they're making enough to buy your product.
Yeah.
And guess what? If you're making $7.25 an hour and you're just barely trying to scrape by and you have $50 a week to spend on groceries, do you know how many times you eat out in a week? Zero. Do you know what the largest population percentage-wise who eat fast food? Minimum wage workers. Those in the lowest income bracket. Okay.
Here's
McDonald's and companies like this are missing the boat by not being progressive on this issue. Because guess what? The minimum wage in this country is going to continue to rise. It may only rise 50 cents by 5 years, but in 10 years, people will be making $8-$9 an hour because inflation is just going to have to go up that much. So, I mean, why not be progressive? Why not get ahead of the curve? Why wait for other people to make the industry standard and then leapfrog forward?
Here's the flip side, though. Okay. And this is from 247wallstreet.com. Okay. And their moniker is insightful analysis and commentary for U.S. and global equity investors. And the people that pulled that up is this NELP organization. And they said of the workforce totals, NELP states that 89.1%, okay, a large majority,
yeah,
are low wage workers who earn an average of $8.94 an hour. So that's over a dollar what the minimum wage is. Okay. So already McDonald's is paying people more than minimum wage across the board. 89%.
By like 15 cents? By like 15 cents? That's awesome.
Using this data.
That's heroic.
24/7.
15 cents more than they have to? Are you kidding me?
Calculated total costs of restaurants for all their average workers who work 35 hours a week for 50 weeks a year. The cost to them for Yum Brands to bring that up would be $8.32 billion.
Yeah.
So what that's saying is basically they can't do that.
Why not?
There's no way that they can raise that.
How many hundreds of billions of dollars do they make in does McDonald's make?
It's not a matter of how much they make. It's a matter of they can't bring it up to that point without raising everything. So the question then becomes, if you raise the minimum wage to whatever, at a federal level, if you raise it to $10 an hour, $15 an hour, whatever that number is,
mm-hmm.
that would be okay to help the lower class that are working these types of jobs.
Yeah.
Okay? If you raise it to whatever point, well, when are you going to raise it again? Because as soon as you raise it, all your Walmarts are going to raise their prices because, by God, they can get more out of it. So you haven't brought your people out of you haven't brought that poverty level out of anything. As noble as that goal sounds and as great as it might be, you haven't done anything for those people but ensured that they pay more because they're making more, because that's how the economy works. And I realize that sounds like a step on the little guy, and who cares how much they're making because they'll always be making that much. But the thing is, and I draw from my own personal experience here, I started at minimum wage,
mm-hmm.
$6.25 an hour was my first paycheck,
mm-hmm.
5-8, whatever years ago it was, I guess 10 years ago almost now. So I was making minimum wage, and I got to the job that I'm at now, not by any great feat, but by working more and more jobs. And so, and the discussion on Twitter that you and I had surrounded kind of the walkout that McDonald's had, I think in seven or eight different cities, where employees walked out saying that they wanted $15 an hour. And my point of view was, and still is, that that's a lazy move, because you're walking out on a job that you already have in favor of simply saying, well, it's because I want more. But it's a matter of working for what you do have. And on the flip side, stop having so many kids. Because like you said, if one single person, an entity is working 40 hours a week,
mm-hmm.
at minimum wage, which 89% of them aren't, then they're fine.
Yep.
Essentially, they mm-hmm. can pay everything that they need to pay. So why do you need to have kids when you can't afford them? That's a bad decision, yep. right? Yep. So social responsibility would tell us that you don't need to have kids when you can't afford them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree.
No, what's the flip side?
I totally agree. I think that, yeah, you should make it so economically inhospitable to have children that no one should be able to have children unless they make a certain amount of money.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yep.
But I'm saying that you don't need to have a bunch of kids when you can't afford them. That's common sense. It's mm-hmm. not a matter of, you know, shit on your dreams. Basically,
yeah.
It's a matter of
no matter how many people have safe sex, there's always going to be a minority
sure,
of people
sure.
who, or a lot of people who
absolutely.
Don't use protection or don't you have sex responsibly. Okay, you cannot cut
right.
that out.
But living within your means, whether it applies to kids or a car or a job or a home,
do you have the number? Do you have the number of how like what percentage of McDonald's sales is actually pure profit?
Yeah, Brant here. There's a huge analysis here. McDonald's Corp. Number of employees: 859,000. Total wage expense at current pay level: $12.27 billion. Total wage expense at $15 an hour is $20.59 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just gives the average increase: $8.13 billion.
Doesn't tell you how much that company makes a year. Doesn't how much tell me
worldwide sales at McDonald's total more than $97 billion, with more than a third of that coming from the U.S. owned and franchised stores.
And what was
stores.
The number? What was the number if they pay them $10 an hour again?
No, 15.
Okay, what's that number?
20.59.
Okay. In most restaurants, you want your labor to be at 27-28%. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is 5 points below that. Mm-hmm. Okay. That is still enough to make. In most restaurants, you also have about 30% is what you're going in your food costs. Usually, labor is somewhere between 28 and 32%. Usually, food costs, you want those to be right around 27-28%.
Okay.
That means you have another 40%. And let's talk about McDonald's food. Okay. You know, it's half sawdust. It's the food cost. In a McDonald's. I've managed a McDonald's.
Well,
before.
That's they
the
make
food,
that point.
The
here.
Food cost in McDonald's. What is it? 20%.
Well, it says the company is trying to find a formula for growth. Okay, so they can spend and get in more countries and expand their brand, which they should be allowed to do.
Yeah.
Okay? And any damage to its low-price menu will really hurt. The company's shares are up 15% in the past 2 years, and McDonald's market cap is at $92 billion. Shares trade around $98. Mm-hmm. That's the only information. And this information is really just saying they can't afford it. Like, it's not going.
So their labor is at 21%. Let's say their food cost is at. Let's make it high. Let's make it.
But
industry
you're looking at an individual store. Like that's across.
So you're looking
McDonald's
at 48% total expenditures.
And Africa and across the globe.
Hold
Matt.
On. Yeah, where they're paying people less and food cost is even more unregulated. Okay. Next, let's talk about other expenditures. Usually, you have about 12%. To 15%, 10 to 15% of other expenditures in a restaurant. So you're looking, let's say 15%. Let's make it 20. 68 right there. That's your total percentage of expenditures. That means 32% of $97 billion. So we're looking at about $30 billion a year that McDonald's as a corporation is clearing.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Just $30 billion. Just $30 billion.
What's wrong with that? I don't understand.
What's wrong? They're spending money.
You realize that they're spending money to get in other countries and to expand their brand and to all of which they should be able to do.
Which comes out of that 15% I was talking about of other expenditures, advertising, expansion, things like that.
McDonald's advertises at the Olympics.
They are the model for the restaurant industry. These are the industry numbers. I'm telling you the truth. I know these numbers because I've seen them on paper before, sitting in offices, looking over numbers on computers and things like that. Like I know these numbers are right.
Okay.
So that was even factored. They have made $30 billion. That's factoring in $15 an hour. Let's make that half, okay? All of a sudden you're running it at 10%, 11%. All of a sudden that 68 becomes 55 or 58. Let's just make that 60. All of a sudden you're at 40% profitability. Are you kidding me? That's what McDonald's is making 40% of the money that you spend at McDonald's is going into the coffers of McDonald's. That's a huge margin. Most restaurants operate at a profitability margin.
Yeah, they're in the business to make money, though. I don't understand.
I know, but most successful restaurants operate at a profitability margin of 15%.
And okay.
That's wildly successful.
Okay. So we can agree that McDonald's is a wildly successful company. That's great. That's the only thing you've proven here.
What I've proven mathematically is that they can afford to pay people more to help raise the standard of living. If this giant corporation does it, the rest of the industry will follow. And I don't understand why they're not trying to build a better world.
I'll explain it to you.
All their commercials are just young people just having a ball.
I'll explain it to you.
They're loving it, right? Like, why aren't they actually trying to do that instead of just advertising it?
If you'd like me to explain it to you, I will. The stock prices of all four companies, and there's some other companies that they outline here in the article, are based very heavily on net income and cash flow. One of the most attractive aspects of being a McDonald's shareholder is the company's history of share buybacks and dividend increases. Very rapid growth is not part of the financial advantage of the large fast food companies. Their ability to produce returns based on stock price and yield are. As for the customer, how much more will a Big Mac cost if wages move from current levels to $15 an hour? According to a report in Forbes, a Big Mac that now costs $3.99 would have to raise to $4.67 to pay for the wage increase. Items on the dollar menu would raise to $1.17, and the cost of a Big Mac meal would raise from $5.69 to $6.66. Mm-hmm. We can't have that. That's the apocalypse.
Why are we pointing the finger at McDonald's? Or why are we pointing the finger at striking
workers?
That's
the one I pulled out. Let's point the finger
at the Federal Reserve. Let's point the finger at the United States government.
You can always do that. And I'm not saying that those things don't have major fixes that maybe need to be put into place.
Mm-hmm.
That is most certainly not what I'm saying. And also, I would like to
say McDonald's hamburger used to cost 5 cents.
But even you said inflation since World War II has gone up to where they'd be paying their people $17 an hour.
Yeah.
So that's the point. Where do you stop it?
So why not pay them half that?
Basically, they do. Because 89% of them make $8.60 or $8.90 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
$8.94 an hour. So 90% of the people that work for McDonald's are making $9 an hour.
What's half that?
90%.
Okay. Who's
so they are paying them half that.
Whose pay is factored into that number? What is it, the
hourly?
Yeah.
The $8.94 an hour.
What percentage of people are they paying that average?
89.1.
Okay. So now 90%. that 89%, like, who does that encapsulate? Is that GMs? Is that hourly employees? Is that CEOs? I mean, if you throw some CEOs in that number, even if you count your GMs in there, you're still, yeah, that raises the number by a ridiculous margin.
It's payroll.
Yeah, it doesn't say.
The payroll at both the stores they own and operate and at their franchise stores. So it comes from the stores, not from corporate.
Mm-hmm. So you're still having GMs in there. You're still having
sure.
people who are building sure. a career on this rather than people who are just trying to get
but
by.
But still, an average is an average,
yeah.
and it's $9 an hour.
Yeah, and a McDonald's GM makes about 40.
Or whatever it is.
Second yeah. assistant, first assistant make around 30, 35. Swings make, you know, 25.
But I'm just saying, like, that's my question to you. Where does it stop? So in 10 years, when $10 or $15 or what, like, and that's the thing. The numbers aren't what's important to me. It's a matter of, economically, where do you stop? Where do you stop raising it?
So it's how much ground are we going to give to the poor people?
No, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of how are we going to afford it?
With everything that's happened in this country over the past 10 years of massive corporate takeover of our government, mm-hmm. I mean, we spent billions of dollars in 2011 to protect banks that didn't need protecting
mm-hmm.
so that we wouldn't have a little bit of a crash in the market. Corporations run this country.
And
corporations
you and I agree
run the
on
American
that.
Government. Corporations run our military. Corporations run the world.
Absolutely, they do.
Why are you on their side?
I'm not. I'm on the side of fiscal responsibility, which I think in this issue.
But you can have both. You can pay people enough and still have fiscal responsibility.
Because
we're talking about we're not talking about the United States government's debt. We're talking about a corporate.
Okay, so they have to raise their prices. So then people that are eating at McDonald's, which is not really everyone, like it's mm-hmm. middle and lower class people. Okay. Now suddenly they have to pay more.
Yeah.
Okay. And your Walmarts and your Burger Kings and Wendy's and anyone else can raise their prices because people are getting paid more. So where does it stop? Or then do you put in a federal regulation in place of, well, a hamburger can only cost this much. So where does it stop? I'm pose a reasonable answer to that question then. Because I don't disagree with you about the corporations and maybe even what they can afford. I'm not necessarily saying mm-hmm. that, but I'm saying in terms of fiscal responsibility, I'm not defending McDonald's. I don't eat McDonald's. I hate McDonald's. Makes me poop for days. But where does it stop? Give that some thought.
We should probably end the program.
Shake. host and co-host still on board. Are you down for next week's episode?
Yeah, fine. I don't care. Whatever.
We can re-sign your contract. I'll pay you $15 an hour.
I own half this company.
It's true.
I know what the books say. I know the numbers.
Yeah, and the books say that you spent $17.50 on two Lord of the Rings action figures.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was a deal. Uh-huh. But you know what? It's not helping the network, is it?
Well, we talked about it, right? It's content.
Yeah,
it was content research. It's R&D, research and development.
Well, let me pose this to our listeners and then we'll end. If that is content that you wish to pay for, actually not even pay for, but content that you'd like to donate to, you can head to tripodbroadcasting.com/support.
That's right, tripodbroadcasting.com/support. You can help out the network, get Dishu off the ground, get more listeners.
And you can buy Matt all the action figures he desires.
Yeah, every dollar you donate goes to
okay.
Lord of the Rings action figures and my peanut butter budget. By the way, I think that somebody named Ryan Height should be donating to support at tripodbroadcasting.com.
For the peanut butter.
Yeah, if he's going to hate on me for buying Peter Pan brand peanut butter, I mean,
well, see, I don't even—is that a good brand, or we need to move on?
Lindsay says it's a mid-grade brand. I think it's a good brand. To me, that's a top shelf brand. Is your
Peter Pan? To me, that's a top shelf brand.
But that—I mean, that's just me. But Tripod Broadcasting,
give that some thought
and support the network. You can also go to audible.com/tripodbroadcasting.
Audible trial.
Oh, I'm sorry. audibletrial.com/tripodbroadcasting. Sign up, get a free audiobook. That helps out the show a little bit too.
Also, I found out they have World War Z on there, the audiobook.
Oh yeah,
so you could get that for free.
Well, I'm reading,
which, by the way, amazing book.
I'm reading the real book right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not a bad read. But yeah.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening.
This has been a production of Tripod Broadcasting.